So my sermon today is plagiarized, okay? So, yeah. I'm giving credit to whoever I've stolen stuff from, okay? Just so you know. So if you ever go listen to someone, you go, oh, that's where Ellen got that from, okay? So I'm just putting that out there so that you can relax and just enjoy it. But the title of my message is laugh, because I just don't think we laugh enough. I just don't think. You know, if God's the author of joy, you know, in his presence is the fullness of joy, then Christians should be laughing all the time. I remember watching, my dad's always been someone that really, really laughs. And I can remember him watching, as a kid, watching Frank Spencer. How many people know who Frank Spencer is? How many people have got no idea who Frank Spencer is? You've never, ever, oh my goodness. Frank Spencer, he was tragedy, and you just used to feel sorry for the poor guy. And my dad, I can remember him sitting on the seat laughing, and he's shaking the whole chair, and he's laughing away, and then something else would happen, and I thought, man, my dad's going to fall off the chair if he's not careful, and he would laugh and laugh at it. It's good to laugh. It's good to laugh. People should come to church and laugh. I think sometimes we're too serious about life. Do you think so? Here's the definition of laughter, okay? Just because we've got to be technical, the definition of laughter is to express certain emotions, especially mirth or delight, by a series of spontaneous, usually unarticulated sounds, often accompanied by corresponding facial and bodily movements. Even the definition itself is funny. So here's this. When we laugh, our body performs rhythmic, vocalized, expiratory, and involuntary actions. 15 facial muscles contract, and there's an electrical stimulation of the zygotic major muscle, which I've got no idea what that is. It says that's the muscle that extends from the cheekbone to the corners of the mouth. It raises the corners of a mouth when a person smiles. Currents of varying intensity produce a wide range of facial responses. The respiratory system is upset by the, here's another word I've got no idea what it is, epiglottis. Half closing so that the air intake. Okay. Cool. I just like the word. Your epiglottis. There we go. So that the intake occurs irregular gasps rather than calm breaths. Under extreme circumstances, the tear ducts are activated. So that while the mouth is opening and closing, there is a struggle for sufficient amount of oxygen intake. The face becomes moist and often red. Noises often accompany this odd behavior, ranging from controlled snickers, escaped chuckles. Who uses that word? Chuckles. Spontaneous giggling to ridiculous cackles, noisy hoots, and uproarious gaffs. There we go. So laughter is an amazing thing. It's actually a tension dissolver. It dissolves your tension. And it's an antidote to anxiety. And I've been thinking and talking lots about anxiety, and I'm thinking it's an antidote to laugh. We just need to laugh more. It's just like a tranquilizer, but without any side effects, and it's free, and you don't even need a prescription for it. Laughter is life's shock absorber. If we want to have less stress in our lives, we need to learn to laugh at our circumstances. We've got to find the fun in the frustrating. Someone asked a guy named President Lincoln, if you're American, you'll know who he is. They said to him, how had he handled the stresses of the Civil War? And he said, if it hadn't been for laughter, I could not have made it. Most famous comedians come from poor neighborhoods with lots of problems, and they've coped with it and their troubles by learning to laugh and to laugh at others, which we don't do. We don't laugh at others. Some of us need to learn to laugh. If you can laugh at it, you can live with it. You think about all your problems. Can you laugh at them? Proverbs 31, woman laughs at the future. Teresa Avila, a Spanish nun, said, "She who laughs, laughs." Does that, do you get that? That's clear. She who laughs, laughs. She used to look for novices who knew how to laugh, eat, and sleep. I can do the eat and sleep thing pretty easy. We believe that if they ate heartily, they were healthy. If they slept well, they were more likely to be free of serious sin. I thought that was a fascinating observation. Don't tell anyone if you're not sleeping well. Otherwise, they might ask you what's happening. And if they laughed, they had the necessary disposition to survive a difficult life. If they could laugh. There was a Jewish proverb that said, "What soap is to the body, laughter is to the soul." Mark Twain said, "Laughter is the greatest weapon that we humans possess, and it's the one we use the least." Abraham Lincoln said, "If I do not laugh, I should die." Henry Ward Beecher, who I don't even know who he is, said, "Mirth is God's medicine. Everyone ought to bathe in it." Someone else said, "Laughter is an instant vacation." Alan Adler, "When people are laughing, they are generally not killing each other," which is true. Generally, if you're laughing, you're not killing. Yeah. Victor Borg said, "Laughter is the shortest distance between two people." Quincy Jones said, "I've always thought that at a big laugh is a really loud noise from the soul saying, ain't that the truth?" You can see I got that from some American who put that in there. Okay, love may make the world go around, but laughter keeps us from getting dizzy. So here's my advice to you, is you need to acquire a sense of humor. You need to laugh more. You need to laugh more. You need to laugh in your relationships. It's good for our marriages. In fact, it's a really good sign of a good marriage is that you laugh together. It's good for all our relationships. Laughing is an integral part of good friendships. You think about your good friends. Most times you're laughing with them. That's what connects you together. So how do we learn to laugh, and how do we develop a sense of humor? And I was trying to think, is there anything you can do to help someone develop a sense of humor? I don't know whether you can. But there's two things that I've got here that I'm just going to, 2 points. The first one is, I think we've got to look for laughter more. You've got to look for things to laugh at. In Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 and 4, it says, "For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to cry, a time to laugh, a time to grieve, and a time to dance." And we talked about dance today. Psalm 126:3 says, "We were filled with laughter and we sang for joy, and other nations said, what amazing things the Lord has done for them." Proverbs 15:15 says, "For the despondent, every day brings trouble. For the happy heart, life is a continual feast." Isn't that amazing? That's your disposition. If you've been able to go, hey, I've got a happy heart, I'm happy about life, then you actually see life in that view. No matter what you've heard or raised, I think that Jesus probably laughed more than anyone else. You know, I was thinking about the Pharisees. I reckon what probably ticked them off the most and got them upset was the freedom that Jesus had and the way that he laughed. You don't attract children unless you laugh. They don't go to serious, grumpy-looking people. Do they? They walk away from them. No, they want to be around them. They go to people that are full of laughter and fun. Jesus was criticized for partying all the time, partying with sinners. He was full of life. When's the last time people looked at you and thought, man, you seem to love life? And I think that's one of the challenges for us, because I'm probably a bit annoyed that some Christians look far too serious. And a lot of people don't want to be Christians because they think they don't look happy. And I think we've got a challenge. We should be the happiest people around. Surely Our sins are forgiven. We're not carrying any weight of our sin. We're free. We should laugh. Laughter, joyfulness, singing, and shouting are a great witness. Being critical and grumpy aren't qualities that make people want to be around you, do they? Who wants to be around someone that's critical? Who wants to be around someone who's judgmental and unhappy? No one. We want to be around people that are happy and full of life. Studies show people won't come back to church where everybody was unfriendly and long-faced. And who can blame them? We need to laugh. Laughing is good for us. Solomon's words of wisdom are simply going, you've got to have the right time for it. You've got to laugh at the right time. We need to look for times to laugh. You've got to look for things that are funny. I can remember, for me, I'll just put this down here. It's a long time. I just got married, so it's quite a while ago. Just got married to Eleanor, and I was sitting on the front row, and we were in the church in Tauranga there, and they had one of those big pulpits, big pulpits. And I was sitting on the front row, and they said, oh, can someone just jump up and move the pulpit? So me and another guy jump up onto the stage in front of everyone. And as I jump up there, I feel something fall out the bottom of my jeans to look down to find my undies from the night before were lying there on the front of the stage in front of you. At least I was wearing clean undies, okay? And I thought, what do you do? What do you do when undies come out in front of everybody on church? Well, I just picked them up and I threw them into the back of the pulpit and thought, let's just ignore it. Let's just carry on. So we pick up the pulpit and we move it over to the side and put it down there. And I just forget about it, like you do. And an old lady comes up to Eleanor afterwards and says, we've only been married about 5-6 months, so we're pretty new on this whole marriage thing. And an old lady says to her, your husband dropped a sock on the stage. She knew it wasn't a sock. And he put it into the back of the pulpit. Maybe you should go get it. So Eleanor goes over to get it, thinking she's going to get a sock to find my dirty underwear there. She said, I was so embarrassed. And she said, I just threw those undies away. I just didn't want to say anything more about them. Something happens funny all the time in our lives. We've just got to look for it. Eleanor was once picking up our oldest boy, Caleb. He was 5 years old, so he's 24 now, so that's a few years ago. Picking him up from school, and he jumps into the car, and he bursts into tears. And Eleanor says, what's wrong? I had to go to the principal's office today. Oh, what for? For weeing in the garden. What did the principal say? He said that if I do it again, I'm on report. I don't even know what report is. And then the next day, I'm at the school and I meet the principal and I said, oh, I hear you've had Eleanor's son in your office for being naughty. And he goes, yeah, he says, look, sometimes I really love my job. He said, I got this, there was two boys. I got these two boys that were weeing in the garden. So he brought them into my office and he goes to Caleb, why'd you do it? Well, I was just running along and my pants fell down and I had to go. Oh, okay. The other boy, why'd you do it? Remember, they're at Bethlehem College, good Christian school. Why'd you do it? The devil made me do it. There we go. I'm not going to get into trouble for that one, am I? You've got to look for things to laugh about. I mean, there's always things happening in our lives. There's always things. You know, so here's some things that you can do. Look to hang out with people who laugh. You know, people who laugh, because laughter's contagious. Why do they have, what do they call it, canned laughter in all the comedies? Because people laugh because other people are laughing. It has an effect. Be around people that laugh. Be around people that watch things. Eleanor and I often watch comedy. Laughter is so good for our spirits. It helps our marriage. You know, we've been married for nearly, over nearly 31 years in December. And I think, you know, ministry at times has a weight to it. And often we'll go, let's go find a comedy. Let's watch a comedy. Let's watch a movie that's funny. And it just de-stresses you. Laughter is important. We need to laugh. We need to laugh. You need to set time aside to laugh. Laugh with your kids. Spend time laughing. You know, my kids get annoyed with me because I go around singing songs and I don't know the words, so I just make them up. And then they get all frustrated because they go, Dad, they're not the words. I say, oh, I don't care. My words are better, much better than their words. And Andre always gets annoyed when I would go to McDonald's because whenever Eleanor went away, well, I'm on dinner and I don't want to do the dishes, so I'll go to a fast food somewhere. And Andre gets annoyed, though, every time I'd say to them, oh, we're here because I'm on dishes and I don't want to do the dishes. And I'd think it was funny, but he didn't think it was funny. He thought it was embarrassing. But here's the thing. Even if someone's jokes aren't funny, just the fact that they're not funny is quite funny. And it's good to laugh. Dad jokes are good. Dad jokes are good. We need more dad jokes. And all the dads said, yes, more dad jokes. We need to laugh. Laugh loud. Eleanor laughs loud. My dad used to laugh very loud. We'd be embarrassed. Every now and again, I'd walk away as a kid. Laugh. So find, be around people that are laughing because it's good for you. Second thing, find things that are funny on social media. If there's one good benefit for social media, it's to find things to laugh about. And there is all sorts of things to laugh about. Funny things on YouTube. Maybe find some cartoons. When's the last time you watched cartoons as an adult? Maybe you need a good laugh. Who was it? The Roadrunner used to be always very funny, and I felt for that poor other guy that really got hurt all the time. Watch some comedy. Watch a movie. I don't know how many times I've watched Happy Gilmore and I still laugh at it. Watch some stand-up comedians. Clean ones, okay? Clean ones. You know, we often watch them. Wear props. And I did have a prop that I was bringing, but I forgot and I left it at church from last night. I had a balaclava. I was just going to put a balaclava on because I look like a criminal when I put a balaclava on. I would do. Thanks, Carl. Man. Wear funny things. Share jokes. Do you want a joke? Shall I give you a joke? A woman accompanied her husband to the doctor's office. After the checkup, the doctor took the wife aside and said, look, if you don't do the following things, your husband is going to die. This is serious. If you don't do these things I'm telling you, your husband is going to die. Number one, each morning, fix him a healthy breakfast and send him off to work in a good mood. Number two, at lunchtime, make him a warm, nutritious meal and put him in a good frame of mind before he goes back to work. Three, for dinner, fix an especially nice meal and don't burden him with household chores. Four, sounding good, isn't it? This is a good one. Satisfy his every whim. On the way home, driving home, the husband asked the wife, what did the doctor say to you? You're going to die. A man placed flowers on the grave of his dearly departed mother and started back towards his car when his attention was diverted to another man kneeling at a grave. The man seemed to be praying with profound intensity and kept repeating, why did you have to die? Why did you have to die? The first man approached him and said, sir, I don't wish to interfere with your private grief, but this demonstration of pain is more than I've ever seen before. For whom do you mourn so deeply? A child? A parent? The mourner took a moment to collect himself and then replied, my wife's first husband. Have we got any Baptists here? Ex Baptist. Okay. Can we tell a joke about the Baptist? Is that all right? Okay. Too bad, I'm going to do it anyway. A Baptist preacher and his wife decided to get a new dog. Ever mindful of the congregation, they knew the dog must also be Baptist. They visited a kennel after kennel and explained their needs. Finally, they found a kennel whose owner assured them that he had just the dog they wanted. The owner brought the dog to meet the pastor and the wife. "Fetch the Bible," he commanded. The dog bounded to the bookshelf, scrutinized the books, located the Bible, and brought it to the owner. "Now find Psalm 23, he commanded. The dog dropped the Bible to the floor and so slowly, with marvelous dexterity, with his paws, leafed through and finding the correct passage, pointed to it with his paw. The pastor and his wife were very impressed and purchased the dog. That evening, a group of church members came to visit. The pastor and his wife began to show off the dog, having him locate several Bible verses. The visitors were really impressed. One man asked, "Can he do any sort of regular dog tricks?" I haven't tried that yet," said the pastor. So he pointed a finger at the dog and said, "Heel," the pastor commanded. The dog immediately jumped on a chair, placed one paw on the pastor's forehead, and began to howl. The pastor looked at his wife in shock. "Good Lord, he's a Pentecostal." You've got to learn to laugh. You've got to learn to laugh. You've got to have a humorous outlook on life, because life is funny. You've got to know where the right time to laugh. Now, not every time is right for laughter, and we've got to be aware of that. But you've got to work out. And I think you need, so first you've got to look for laughter. The second thing I think you've got to do is I think you need a daily dose of laughter. Proverbs 15:30 says, "A cheerful look brings joy to the heart. Good news makes for good health." Proverbs 17:22, which a lot of us would know, "A cheerful heart is good like a medicine." Proverbs 14:30, "A relaxed attitude lengthens a person's life." Did you know that a child laughs 400 times on average a day, and most adults only laugh 15 times? You just think that through. Children laugh all the time. That's the way God's created them. What's happened between there and getting older? Well, I think we become too intense about things. We get too serious about things. We need to laugh. Laughter is important. A guy named Norman Cousins used laughter. He said, "Laughter is so beneficial for your body, it's like inner jogging." I thought that was a good thing. He healed himself of a major chronic disease with laughter therapy. And they are actually using laughter therapy sometimes just to help people through what some of the sicknesses they have. A hearty laughter is also cardioprotective. It's good for your heart. It increases circulation and improves the delivery of oxygen and nutrients to your body. Psychoneuroimmunology. That's a great word, isn't it? Psychoneuroimmunology, i.e., it's how does your brain affect your immunity system? The study of this interaction between psychological processes and the nervous and immune system of a human body prove laughter stimulates your immune system to fight off diseases. Laughter helps fight illnesses by marking invading bacteria and viruses for destruction. Isn't that phenomenal? Laughter decreases the stress hormones in levels. It's also good for allergies. It helps control pain by raising the levels of our brain's natural endorphins. With 50 to 100 more potent, which are 50 to 100 times more potent than morphine. So laughing helps you. God's prescription drug. Laughter helps you relive stress by causing the release of the natural painkillers in the body. When we laugh out loud, endorphins and adrenaline are released, which results in a natural high, making you feel good about yourself. Isn't that amazing? God knew that. Have you ever laughed so hard that you've doubled over, fell off your chair. Don't respond to this. Spit out your food or wet your pants. You can't maintain muscular tension when you are laughing. A Norwegian university reported that good sense of humor cuts one's chances of death by 70% compared with adults with a poor sense of humor. It's been proven people who laugh live longer. There's a connection between a cheerful life and longevity, and that's what Proverbs says. In Japan, they did a study and revealed that if you want to live longer, you need to laugh more. The study showed that laughter, humor, and happiness play key roles in good health and longevity and reduce incidence of high blood pressure, flu, heart disease, arthritis, and diabetes. Laughter is important psychologically for our relationships with our spouse, our workers, our friends. Humor also helps improve creativity in our mind. Isn't that amazing? Our minds are more readily remember something if we can connect it to something funny. And here's what's amazing. Science is catching up with what the Bible says. A cheerful look brings joy to the heart. Good news makes good health. And a cheerful heart is good medicine. Proverbs 14:30 says, a relaxed attitude lengthens a person's life. God is joyful. Laughter is contagious. It makes a difference. We need to laugh. And you can find some. And I went for some photos, but Eleanor told me they weren't funny. So they're not funny photos. So this is just ours a few years ago, not that long ago. Okay, that's next one. Couple of the boys. Next one. I don't know if you can see this one. I think Raki. I did ask him if I could use this photo. Raki was doing exercise when we were up at the C3 thing. Victor and Jared. Jared has got a goat. It just made me laugh. In fact, Rachel and Jared take their goats for a walk, which I even thought that was funny. But I did say to Rachel, I won't show her picture of her holding onto her goat. Otherwise, I'll be in trouble. But you can find that. Oh, that's Nathaniel. I just find that funny because I know Nathaniel really well. Dancing. There we go. Sorry about the nudity in church. You got to find something to laugh at. God laughs. Psalm 22 verse 4 says, the one enthroned in heaven laughs. So God laughs. God has a sense of humor. The New Testament is full of passages that show that Jesus must have laughed as well. You know what I said about children. He wouldn't have been ministering to children if he didn't laugh and wasn't free. This guy wrote this about Jesus because most of our pictures of Jesus is that he looks serious and maybe mad. But the best picture is that he would have been laughing and smiling all the time. This guy wrote this about Jesus. Yes, Jesus smiled. Yes, Jesus laughed. Jesus smiled wider, laughed heartier than any human being who ever walked the planet. He was young. He radiated good cheer. Jesus was a man of such merriment, such gladness of heart, such freedom and openness, he proved irresistible and became known throughout Galilee for his genuine strength, the sparkle in his eyes, the spring in his step, the heartiness of his laugh, the genuineness of his touch, his passion, his playfulness, his excitement, and vitality, his joy. He made a dazzling display of love. He set hearts afire. He was an elated, triumphant young man with an incredible quality of life, so different from the solemn religious types he constantly encountered. Jesus was witty. They called him a drunk. They thought, man, you're drunk. Why is that? Because he was probably laughing all the time. What makes you call someone a drunk? All their stupid behavior, isn't it? So he's obviously full of life. And that really ticked the religious people off. They really got mad with him because he was enjoying life so much. You know, and I often think of Jesus, and being around him would have been just amazing. It would have been so much fun around Jesus. Because if you think about Jesus healing somebody that hasn't been able to walk, and suddenly that person's following you around everywhere, they're now going to places that they haven't been able to go to. And they'll be looking at things. You imagine a blind person now with you on the road. They'd be so excited. I was talking to someone last week, and they said a person got healed in a service once that they were in overseas of blindness. The person could see, and he said it took them 2 hours to get the meeting back together because people were so excited about this person being able to see, and that person just kept running around. You know, I can see. You imagine walking along with Jesus. It would be full of life. And probably the best picture of it is in about Luke 7. When Jesus, they've healed a whole lot of people, they're coming and they come into the town, I think it's called Nain. They come in and you just have this picture of a whole crowd of very excited, fun people, and they meet a funeral procession of a woman whose son's died, her only son. And you just think, there's death, there's the, I suppose, not life, it's everything opposite life. And here's life walking down the road. What happens when laughter and life meets death? It changes it. Jesus raises the kid from the dead. Man, he changes the atmosphere. And we should be the people that are doing that. When you walk into a room, you should bring life into that room. You should be the carrier of life. People should go, man, I love being around you. Man, you're full of life. Man, what's happening in your life that makes you so excited? You know, I often have people say, your life must be good, really good. And I say, well, I go that if I'm right on the inside, it actually doesn't matter what's happening on the outside. In fact, some of the stuff this year that, you know, Ella and I've gone through, it's just like anyone else. There's some huge things you go through in life with family and people's, you know, your friends and what people are going through. Some of them's pretty heavy. But I choose to go, no, I'm not gonna let them affect me. I'm going to be somebody that carries life wherever I go. Jesus carried life. You and I should carry life. We have the answer to life in us. We should carry it. In his presence is fullness of joy. In his presence. Unfortunately, some Christians just leave it inside and it never comes out. You should be able to see it. You should be able to see that someone's full of joy. Look for laughter. Take a daily dose. Christians should be the happiest people on earth. Let me pray for you. I'll put this down here. Father, right now, I just pray for every person here. And Lord, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones, affects the health. And Lord, I pray right now that every person in this place would know your life. Lord, that they would laugh. That, Lord, you'd give them a fresh sense of peace. Lord, that you'd set them free from everything that they're worrying about, everything that they're carrying. Father, help us to be people that are full of your life. Yes, we've got to know the right times, when to laugh and when to cry. But Lord, I pray you'd help us to be people who bring life to situations. Lord, that we don't let life get on top of us, but Father, we're on top of life. Help us to laugh. Lord, I pray our families would laugh more. Lord, that joy would fill their households, every household in this place. Why don't you just talk to God? I don't know what's happening in your world. I don't know what you're carrying. Why don't you just give it to God? Maybe you need to adjust some things and go, man, I just need to laugh more. I know I need to laugh more. Maybe set a goal for the next week. I'm going to try and find something funny to laugh at, and let it de-stress you. Let it take the load. Holy Spirit, I pray, help us to be full of your life. Lord, so that people come and they want to drink. Lord, you were full of living water. People came to you because you had life. Lord, I pray we would be carriers of that life, that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead would dwell in us and flow through us. Thank you, Jesus.